morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh.
Morning.
A little chilly. I think, winter is upon us. But thankfully, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. Starting 2015, and here we are already in the second Sunday of 2015, it's usually a good time to redirect our spiritual lives, our lives in general, in a parallel fashion to that of Jesus. Probably one of the best ways to begin that and to look at exactly what that fashion is comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. So can I get someone to read that for us, please?
He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue. As was custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zephareth in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go around the room and just share a question, an insight, and see if we can pull this together.
I think Mark. This is a calling for all of us, where the Spirit of the Lord is on us. He's anointed us all to proclaim the good news to everybody.
Okay. All right. You got anything?
Yeah. Why were they mad?
Why were they mad? They meaning his little hometown folk?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody have a response?
It seems like to me they only wanted some healing from him.
Healing?
Yeah, they were expecting him to perform all these miracles. And like in verse 21, they were praising him, and then when you get down to 29, they wanted to kill him.
Yeah, you get this impression, you know, here's Jesus, he's starting his ministry, and he walks into the synagogue, right? And he's going to read. Now, in a Jewish custom, you stand up to read, you sit down to preach. So he says he stands. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah. A couple of interesting words that Luke is going to use here is it says, "And he found the place where it was written." So it's not as if they handed him the scroll and said, "Here, this is what you get to read today." No, they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and he looks for it, and he finds this scripture, which comes out of Isaiah 61. And he quotes it. He reads it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," yada, yada, yada. So he rolls up the scroll, hands it back, sits down. And yes, his hometown people are like, "Oh." Because he says, you know, today this scripture has been fulfilled. And we, before we went on the air, we said that these people would have been longing to hear the fulfillment of this. And he says it's been fulfilled. So they're like, "Oh boy, oh yes, yes, Jesus, thank you very much."
Yeah, I think they got upset because, like I said a minute ago, he was proclaiming it to all.
Jesus is really trying to do them a favor. He says, "I appreciate the applause, the gratitude, the generosity, the support. Thank you very much. You really love me. But there's going to come a time and you're going to tell me to heal myself." And then he goes on and he tells a story that there was once a time in the land of the Jews where the greatest prophets of our tradition reached out not to the Israelites, but to the Gentiles. Right. Widow and Naaman the leper. That upsets them because they've been longing for this messianic expectation to be fulfilled. They've been longing for their liberator, right? Because they're living in a time of Roman oppression. They've been waiting a long time. And they get real excited that, all right, great, liberation's coming. What do you mean it includes them? All right, does that answer your question?
Yes.
All right, so they're angry about that. Yes, sir.
In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, how come no prophet was allowed in his hometown?
Well, anybody have any response to that?
He's not welcome in his hometown? Is that what
you're saying? Yes.
Yeah, not accepted, not welcome.
I think it's crazy.
Maybe because he was born there, they know who he is. Now he's come back, you know, as the Messiah, as, you know, the one, he's claiming the one is here. And maybe they, you know, they grew up with it, they know Jesus, they...
Now, let's look, we probably all have had this type of experience to where, you know, if I got something to say in here, you may not always like what I have to say, okay? If you're anticipating a certain speech, a certain proclamation, and you kind of feel like you're on the side of the speaker, and all of a sudden the speaker turns around and says something entirely different, and you're like, what?
All right, thank you.
That's kind of what that's referring to.
I'm trying to form a visual of the scene, and it says, they got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill, which town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. So I envision this angry mob, torches and pitchforks, and right. Driving him to the edge of the cliff, but then it says, they just walked right through him and went on his way.
Yeah, I know. No kung fu, no ninja moves, nothing like that. He just smoothly walks through the crowd, right? Yeah, you know, I think we, from a literary perspective, this is Luke's attempt to demonstrate that Jesus is really a fulfillment of Elijah. If you read the story of Elijah, a similar event happens to him in which he slips through the crowd. We could say that it's early on. He just made the announcement of his ministry. It's a little early to be dying, so somehow or another he has to be released. But the way that Luke's going to have him be released is similar to the way Elijah was. Right? So that there's kind of like a divine intervention taking place. Though the angry mob demonstrates, we all get angry, I think, at sometimes when we hear things we don't want to hear. Gentlemen, we're wrestling with issues of addiction. When we were actively engaged, we didn't like it when people told us, you know, maybe you need some help. We kind of were in denial, and we rejected that. Sometimes we'd even get angry, and sometimes we'd even get angry intentionally, because then that would give us permission. Well, forget you, I'm going to the bar. So we may not have hurled them off the cliff, but we may have used our anger to justify our behavior. Well, let me ask you a question. Who's the primary mover in this story?
I believe it to be the Holy Spirit that's working in the...
Bingo. Bingo. And that kind of parallel what Mark was talking about. Jesus says, look, this isn't about me. This is about the Spirit of God.
I think for me, putting myself into it and with our parallel studies and the ragamuffin and even the prodigal son yesterday, you know, the parable of that, you know, this is for everyone, you know, and it's not by any work of mine that, you know, his grace and his mercy and love is on me. It's just by my response to him. And that response for me comes in the way of when I get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, like you said, it was, you know, he just got baptized. He just got tested. Now it's going to be a narrow but a straight path that we walk with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get persecuted. But when we have that Holy Spirit, we can walk through that crowd, you know, that wants to kill us. Because if God's for us, who can stand against us?
Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All right? He has anointed me to proclaim good news to who?
Tell all.
Huh?
Or.
Yeah, it says... The Spirit of God is upon me. So it's about the Spirit of God. This is what the Spirit of God is doing in me. And the Spirit of God is working in me to share good news with the poor. Yeah, and he'll go on and say, guess what? There are some Gentiles, some non-Jews who are poor. Well then, really, Jesus is kind of offering us a choice, isn't he? If we're going to claim we have the Spirit of God, are we sharing good news with the poor? Have you ever had an experience within Western Christianity to where maybe that's not so much the case?
Yes.
Would you say that a lot of Western Christianity is really about advancing personal piety rather than a proclamation of liberation through economic or social injustice? If we walked into any church, maybe even in within Lenawee County, and we started preaching something like this, would they take you to a cliff?
No.
If it was on a run.
Well. Yeah. All right. The cliff expression, may they not be receptive to what you have to hear.
Yes.
Prophets are not welcome in their hometown. Gentlemen, how effective are we in fulfilling Jesus' mission? I mean, isn't that the invitation? This is my mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of God has anointed me. That's what Jesus is saying. And isn't that the same Spirit that anoints you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has the mission changed?
No.
No. No. Not at all. And so we have to appreciate, as ragamuffins, as people who have experienced what it's like to be on the fringes, on the margins, on the periphery of the social norm, right? You know, self-imposed, granted, right? But still, we've experienced some of those things, and yet, wouldn't we say that if we were there and Jesus said this, we'd go, oh yeah, all right! That somehow the ones who are receptive to those who are those who tend to identify themselves as part of the marginalized, part of the poor, the outcast. Jesus' audience during this little scripture reading obviously would have felt that because they were under Roman oppression. But it's supposed to be just for us, not for all who are experiencing oppression. And so sometimes maybe our hearts ought to be reaching out to other parts of this this little blue planet we call Earth, who are experiencing similar realities. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. How about some feedback? Any thoughts, comments, questions?
Yeah, question. Who is Namindas Syrian? Why was he the only one cleansed?
Well, again, that's a story that comes from the Old Testament, where Elisha, he's kind of a military leader, right? Who is a Gentile, who's experiencing leprosy, and in a sense, he's told for 7 days to kind of go in this little river, bathe, come out, and at the end of that, he is cleansed of his leprosy. But at first, he's resistant. But then he follows what Elisha says to him. Right? Are these people following what Jesus is saying to them? And he says, look, even the Gentiles responded to God's movement. Why are you resisting me? When really it's not me, Jesus isn't the prime mover in this story. It's the Spirit of God. Why are you resisting the Spirit of God? Naaman didn't. The widow of Zephath didn't. So he uses a couple examples of non-Jews being responsive to the Spirit of God.
Well, I think it's interesting how he's going to use their own sacred text and their own history promote what God really wanted.
Yeah, I don't.
How they failed to accomplish what they were set out to do in the beginning.
Yeah, he, like I said, he's very intentional in finding that scripture in the scroll of Isaiah. And he's going to, and we'll see, if you read a lot of the Gospels, stories, Jesus, he knows his way around his Bible, you know, his Old Testament. And he'll refute several of his of the opposition with their own text. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.